There is a road in Paradise, Texas. It curves gently through open land, past dry grass and mesquite trees, past mailboxes and driveways and the quiet rhythms of a small town living its ordinary life. Cars pass through it every day. Trucks, delivery vehicles, strangers on their way somewhere else. And most of them come and go, and no one thinks twice. But on one November afternoon, one truck stopped, and a little girl, who had only walked outside to catch her breath, was gone. Her name was Athena Strand. She was 6 years old, and this is what happened to her. This is Among Monsters. I'm Maya Vale. And every story we tell here begins with the same uncomfortable truth, that the people capable of the darkest acts rarely look the way we expect. They don't announce themselves. They don't carry signs. They move through our world the same way everyone else does, quietly, routinely, invisibly, until one moment, one choice, one act that can't be undone. Tonight's story is one of the hardest I have ever told. Not because the crime itself is uniquely complex, but because of how simple it was, how fast it happened, how close to normal it all looked, right up until it wasn't. This is the story of Athena Strand, a six-year-old girl from a small town in North Texas, who walked outside on a Wednesday afternoon and never came back. And it is the story of the man who took her. A man with a uniform, a job, a route he drove every single day. A man who, by every outward measure, looked like no one to be afraid of. Stay with me. If you've ever been to Parker County, Texas, picture it. Rolling hills that flatten into wide open plains, long stretches of two-lane road, sky that goes on forever, the kind of sky that reminds you how small you are, and somehow makes that feel okay. And tucked inside all of that, a small community called Paradise. Population, just over 1,000 people. It's not a place most of the country had heard of before November 2022. It wasn't on maps people searched. It wasn't a destination. It was just home. For people who chose it, Paradise offered something increasingly rare in the modern world. Space to breathe, space to raise a family, space to let your kids run around outside without the low hum of anxiety that follows parents in bigger cities. The kind of peace where you know your neighbors, where church parking lots fill up on Sunday mornings, where everyone waves from their trucks whether they know you or not. That's not a cliche. That's just what it was. Communities like Paradise exist all over this country. Towns with one main road, a diner that's been there since the 60s, a school where kids grow up alongside the same classmates their parents knew. Places where a stranger's car parked in your neighbor's driveway is something you notice. Where people still knock on doors with food when someone has a hard week. And part of the tragedy of what happened here is not just the loss of Athena. It's the loss of the sense of safety that places like Paradise are built on. Because unspoken contract of a small town, the reason people choose them over the noise and density of somewhere larger is the belief that proximity means something. That if something happens, someone would see, someone would help, someone would know. But that contract was broken on November 30th. And no small town fully recovers from a moment like that. Not because it becomes dangerous, but because the certainty is gone. And certainty is not something you get back. Into that world, Athena Strand was born, 6 years old. Let that sit for a moment. 6 years old means starting first grade. It means losing your first tooth and being absolutely amazed by it. It means asking why the sky is blue and not being satisfied with any answer. It means watching cartoons on a Sunday morning with complete, undivided devotion. It means believing in things, in magic, in the reliability of the adults around you, in the fundamental safety of the world. 6 years old means you have not yet learned to be afraid of ordinary things. You are not suspicious of trucks on your road. You are not calculating risk when you step outside. You are just outside, just breathing, just being a child in the world. It means laughter that comes from your whole body. It means loving without condition or calculation. It means being entirely, completely, beautifully alive. That was Athena. People who knew her described the same things over and over. The smile. That enormous, room-filling smile that she deployed freely and often. A smile that made you feel like you were the most important person in the world just for being near her. The kind of smile that you remember years after when you're thinking about something else entirely. The kind that finds you. The energy. She was not a quiet presence. She filled whatever space she occupied, not with noise, but with life, with curiosity, with the kind of relentless, joyful momentum that only children carry naturally. She was the kid who had more questions than any adult had answers for. The kid who noticed things, who pointed at everything and wanted to understand it, who made the world feel a little more interesting just by being curious about it. She loved her family. She was close with her dad, Mert Strand, and her stepmother, Tanya. She had siblings she teased and adored in equal measure, the way children do, with that specific cocktail of completion and devotion that only siblings understand. She was, by every account, a little girl who was deeply, genuinely loved, and who loved back just as hard. When you talk to people who were close to Athena's family, one theme runs through everything they say. She was here, fully, vividly, undeniably here. There is nothing unique about Athena's story in the sense that every child lost to violence is an irreplaceable human being. Every child taken in a universe extinguished. But there is something about the specific ordinariness of that Wednesday. Something about the smallness of the moment that preceded everything that makes what happened to Athena feel almost impossible to absorb, because it didn't happen in darkness. It didn't happen somewhere unfamiliar. It happened outside her home, on a road she knew, in the middle of the afternoon, Wednesday, the day before December began. Families across the country were pulling out Christmas decorations, thinking about travel plans, listening to the first holiday songs on the radio and deciding whether it was too early or exactly right. In Paradise, Texas, it was a quiet afternoon. Athena was at home with her stepmother, Tanya. At some point in the afternoon, the two of them got into an argument. I want to be clear about what that means. Not a dramatic fight, not a dangerous situation, just the friction of everyday family life. A child having a hard moment. A child feeling overwhelmed by feelings she didn't yet have the vocabulary to name. Children do this. They get frustrated. They feel things intensely and have very little of the emotional architecture adults spend decades building. And so Athena did what children do when the feelings get too big for the room. She went outside. She walked out the front door of her home into the cool November air to collect herself, to breathe, to be alone for a moment. There is nothing wrong with that. There was nothing reckless about it. She was outside her own home on a road she had walked before. She had no reason to be afraid. And for a few minutes, she wasn't. Tanner Horner, age 31 years old, he lived in the area. He had been working as a contract delivery driver for FedEx, employed through a company called Ground Force, which operated as an independent service provider. Delivery work is physical. It's repetitive. It involves spending long hours alone in a truck, moving through neighborhoods, reading addresses, lifting packages, knocking on doors. It's the kind of work that makes you invisible in a specific way. Not invisible in the sense of being unseen. in the sense of being unremarkable, in the sense of being expected. We have been conditioned over decades of home delivery to understand that trucks come and go, that a person in a uniform arriving at the door is routine, that the transaction, knock, deliver, receipt, gone, is so familiar that we process it on autopilot. Delivery drivers move through residential neighborhoods every single day. They see backyards. They know which houses have dogs. They know which driveways have children's bikes in them. They know the routines of the neighborhoods they're serving. They are trusted, not because we have specifically chosen to trust them, but because we have outsourced that decision to the companies that employ them. We assume that screening happened. We assume that background checks ran. We assume that the person in that uniform passed whatever threshold was required. To everyone who knew Horner or passed him on the road, he was unremarkable. He drove his route. He made his deliveries. He moved through neighborhoods and subdivisions and rural roads the same way thousands of delivery drivers do every single day across this country. If you've ever watched a delivery truck roll slowly through your street, glancing at house numbers, pulling up to a mailbox, you know what that looks like. You don't watch it. You don't register it. It's furniture. It's background. On November 30th, 2022, Tanner Horner was making deliveries in the Paradise area. He was on a route. He was doing his job. And at some point along the quiet stretch of road, he saw Athena Strand standing outside, alone, 6 years old, small enough to be easily overpowered, young enough to be confused about what was happening, far enough from anyone inside that no one would hear. And here is the moment that cannot be explained away. The moment that separates everything that came before from everything that followed. Tanner Horner stopped his truck. He approached that little girl, and he took her. When Athena didn't come back inside, the first response was probably ordinary worry. Minutes ticking by, a glance out the window, a call of her name through the door. But the minutes stretched, and there was no answer, and the place she had been standing was empty. Fear doesn't announce itself gradually in moments like this. It hits all at once. Tanya began searching, calling for her, checking the yard, the road, the nearby area with the desperate logic of someone who still believes this is a simple misunderstanding. She has to be close. She has to be right here, somewhere. But she wasn't. Athena Strand was gone. And within hours, every resource available in Parker County was moving toward finding her. When a child goes missing, time does something strange. It becomes both the most important currency in the world and the cruelest. Because you want more of it. You need more of it. You are praying that every passing hour is still an hour in which she is alive. And at the same time, you know that the math works against you, that the research is brutal, that the window narrows fast. Law enforcement arrived quickly. The Wise County Sheriff's Office took the lead. Federal investigators from the FBI joined within hours. Because the first possibility anyone had to consider was that Athena hadn't wandered off, that someone had taken her. And if someone had taken her, every passing hour made recovery harder. Every passing hour changed what finding her might mean. The word went out fast. In Parker County, in Wise County, across North Texas, an Amber Alert was issued. The system designed precisely for moments like this, the one that sends a message to thousands of phones simultaneously, demanding attention, demanding eyes on the road, demanding the public become part of the search. Social media lit up. Parents who had never met Athena Strand shared her photo. People who had never driven through Paradise were praying for a little girl they knew only from a picture. That picture, that smile, bright, wide, unstoppable. The smile of someone who had no idea what the world was capable of. Search teams combed the area on foot and by vehicle. Volunteers gathered in the cold November evening and spread out across fields and roads. Tips poured in from people who thought they might have seen something. People who had been in the area that afternoon were contacted and interviewed. Investigators were meticulous. They had to be. Because in the first hours of a missing child case, before you know what happened, you have to pursue every possibility simultaneously. Did she wander off on her own? Did she go to a neighbor's house? Did someone pick her up? If so, who? And in the middle of all that careful, exhausting work, investigators noticed something. A FedEx delivery had been made in the vicinity around the time Athena disappeared, and the driver had not completed his route. When investigators identified Tanner Horner as a person of interest, they moved quickly. There was no public announcement, no media circus around the investigation in those early hours, just a quiet, focused, urgent pivot toward one name, one truck, one driver who had been in the area and whose timeline didn't fit. When they found him, the investigation moved faster than most anyone expected, because Tanner Horner confessed. Not after days of interrogation, not after legal maneuvering, not after a drawn-out process. Within hours of Athena's disappearance being reported, Tanner Horner told investigators what he had done. And what he told them was devastating. He admitted he had approached Athena on that road. He admitted he had taken her. He admitted that within approximately an hour of abducting her, he had killed her. 1 hour. From the moment she was taken to the moment her life ended. 60 minutes. Investigators pressed him for details, for the location of her body, and he told them. I want to stop here for a moment because I think it's important to sit with what that timeline means. When Athena's family realized she was gone, when the search began, when neighbors and law enforcement and volunteers were just learning that a little girl was missing in Paradise, Texas, she was already gone. She was already gone before most of the world knew her name. Before the Amber Alert, before the social media post, before anyone outside that small road had any idea something had happened. She had 1 hour. And in that hour, Tanner Horner made a choice. He would later tell investigators that things got out of hand, that he panicked, that the situation escalated beyond what he intended. But I want to take a moment with that language. Because it got out of hand is language designed to suggest momentum. To suggest that events took over, that a man was swept along by forces bigger than his own decision-making. That is not what happened. What happened is that he had a child in his custody, a living child, a frightened, confused 6-year-old child who wanted to go home. And at every moment during that hour, he had a choice. He could have stopped. He could have turned around. He could have left her somewhere safe. He could have walked her to a door and knocked on it. He could have called 911 himself. He could have looked at her and remembered that she was a person. He chose not to. And then he chose again and again, right up until the last choice, the one with no going back. Here is what I want to say about that, because it matters. I panicked is not an explanation. Things got out of hand. Is not an explanation. The only thing that happened in that hour is that a grown man chose, repeatedly, to harm a child rather than bring her back. Every moment between the abduction and her death was a moment where a different choice could have been made, where she could have been returned, where 6 more years could have turned into 7, into 16, into a lifetime. There was no accident in this. There was only choices. Based on Horner's confession and the details he provided, investigators were led to a remote area off FM 1655 in Boyd, Texas, approximately 11 miles from Athena's home. It was dark by then. December was less than a day away. And in that patch of ground, miles from the road she had walked outside on, they found Athena Strand. She had been discarded, hidden, covered, like something disposable. Like she hadn't been a little girl with a smile that filled a room. Like she hadn't been someone's daughter, someone's sibling, someone's entire world. I don't need to describe the details of what was found to convey what it meant. What it meant was that a family who had been holding on to hope had nothing left to hold on to. What it meant was that a town that had been praying for a miracle received the worst possible news instead. What it meant was that Athena Strand was gone, and nothing after that moment would ever put the world back the way it was. The question that always follows a crime like this is the one we almost can't help asking. Who is Tanner Horner? What combination of history, psychology, and circumstance produces a man capable of this? The short answer is that investigators didn't find an extensive criminal history. He hadn't been flagged. He hadn't been on any list. He hadn't given the public any obvious reason to be afraid of him. He had obtained employment as a delivery driver. He had passed whatever screening process was in place at the time. FedEx, as a company, uses third-party contractors called independent service providers to staff many of their delivery routes. Ground Force was the company that had hired Horner. He was one of hundreds of drivers moving packages through North Texas on any given day. There was no risk on his name, no warning attached, and that is one of the most unsettling aspects of this entire story. Not because it meant the system failed catastrophically in some obvious way, but because it means that what he carried inside him, whatever darkness had been living there, was invisible until the moment it wasn't. He wasn't hiding in the margins. He wasn't a ghost. He was visible, present, moving through the same ordinary world as everyone else. There is a tendency, after crimes like this, to look backward, to search for signals that were missed, to construct a narrative that says, of course he was capable of this. If only someone had been paying attention. Sometimes that search finds something, and when it does, it is genuinely important. It informs prevention. It improves screening. It gives the next investigation something to work with. But sometimes the search finds very little. Sometimes the person who commits an act this extreme arrived at it in ways that left almost no trace in the public record. That doesn't mean nothing was there. It means we couldn't see it. And that is the part that lives in the chest long after the verdict. Because there is no solution to invisibility. There is no background check comprehensive enough to surface every darkness. There is only vigilance, only awareness, only the refusal to stop paying attention. He was 31 years old. He was employed. He had a route, and he chose. That is the part that cannot be explained away or understood into something manageable. He chose. Tanner Horner was charged in Wise County for capital murder and aggravated kidnapping. Capital murder in the state of Texas carries specific weight. It is the category of murder that makes a defendant eligible for the death penalty. Prosecutors in Wise County made clear early on that they intended to pursue justice at the highest possible level. The case was not complicated by the absence of evidence. Horner had confessed. Law enforcement had his statement. They had the location of Athena's body. They had the physical evidence recovered at the scene. What followed was the long, procedural work of building a case that would hold up in court, that would honor Athena properly, that would not give Horner any path to walk away from what he had done. Her family watched all of it unfold. There are no words adequate to what Mert Strand and his family experienced in the days and weeks that followed. Losing a child is its own category of grief. It sits outside the normal architecture of loss. It violates the natural order in a way that the mind cannot process cleanly. And losing a child this way, to violence, to a stranger's deliberate choice, adds layers of pain that compound endlessly. The how, the why, the what if. The simple fact that she walked outside for a moment of quiet and never came back. Mert Strand spoke publicly in the aftermath of his daughter's death. He was clear that he wanted the world to know who she was, not just as a victim, not just as a name attached to a crime, but as Athena, as a little girl with the enormous smile, the one who loved hard and laughed loud and filled every room she entered, the one who had barely begun, the one who deserved decades more, and his grief. Public as it was forced to become, was also a kind of refusal. A refusal to let this be only a crime story. A refusal to let Tanner Horner's actions define who she was. Athena Strand was not a victim first. She was a child first. She was loved first. Paradise, Texas, grieved collectively. That is what small towns do. They carry things together. They hold each other up inside the kind of communal grief that larger places rarely achieve. People who don't know the Strand family personally brought food, showed up, sat with neighbors through the dark early days. Churches filled, vigils were held. Her name was written on signs and on hearts and in the kind of prayers that come from somewhere deeper than habit. There is a kind of grief that is too large for one family to carry alone. And when a community comes together around it, when strangers become a kind of extended family in the shared weight of mourning a child, it is both devastating and quietly, stubbornly beautiful. Families across North Texas hugged their children longer. Parents stood at school pickup lines and felt the specific horror of imagining the alternative. People donated to funds for Athena's family. People changed their profile picture. People who had no connection to Paradise found themselves thinking about a little girl they'd never met. And yet underneath all of the response and the vigils and the fundraising and the prayer, there was still that question, how? How do you go from here being safe to this? How does a child stand outside her own home on a Wednesday afternoon and not come back? The answer the investigation produced was both simple and devastating. It happened because a man decided it would. And that is the part that no vigil fully soothes, no conviction fully resolves. Because it can happen again, anywhere. Because the choice to harm is always available to people who are willing to make it. And most of the time, we cannot see it coming. Horner's case moved through the courts with the weight of a community demanding accountability. His defense attorneys were tasked with the impossible challenge of representing a man who had confessed to abducting and killing a six-year-old child. The legal process moved carefully. Evidence was presented, motions were filed, the machinery of the justice system did what it was built to do. And in 2024, Tanner Horner faced a jury in Wise County, Texas. That jury heard the evidence. They heard the facts of what happened on November 30th of 2022. They heard about Athena Strand, about who she was, about how little time she had. And when the time came, Tanner Horner pled guilty. He will not get out. He will live the rest of his life in a Texas prison. He will not stand outside on a quiet afternoon. He will not walk freely through the world. He will not make another choice like the one he made on that road. I have been doing this long enough to know that the word justice is complicated. People use it to mean different things. Sometimes it means punishment. Sometimes it means closure. Sometimes it means the legal system working the way it was designed to. And sometimes it means simply that the world looked at what happened to your child and refused to look away. That it named what it saw. That it held someone accountable, that it said, formally and on the record, that a life was taken that had no business being taken. But for families like Athena's, justice is always incomplete because no verdict brings her back. No sentence reverses what happened on that road. No amount of years in prison undoes the 60 minutes that changed everything. What justice means in a case like this is that the person responsible faces real, permanent consequences, that the system does not let him walk away, that the world acknowledges formally and on record that what he did was unforgivable. It means Athena Strand's name is attached to accountability, that her life, as brief as it was, had enough weight to move the machinery of the law into motion, that she mattered enough to fight for, and in that limited, painful, imperfect sense, justice was served. I want to go back to something, to that road, to the ordinary sight of a delivery truck moving through a residential area, because that image is one I cannot shake. Not a stranger lurking in shadows, not a predator hiding in obvious places, a man in a uniform, on a route, doing a job, moving through a neighborhood exactly the way he was supposed to. And what I keep returning to is how completely invisible it all looked. How many driveways did he stop at that day before he reached that road? How many people answered their doors and accepted packages and waved him off without a second thought? How many people watched that truck and thought absolutely nothing of it? And then it stopped. And a 6-year-old girl was standing alone. And everything changed. There is no protection against someone who looks ordinary until the moment they chose not to be. There is no checklist that fully closes the gap. There is only the terrible truth that people who do things like this exist in plain sight. They live in towns like paradise. They work jobs like everyone else. They move through our world without announcement. And most of the time, they remain who they appear to be. But sometimes they don't. And we are left with the aftermath. Athena Strand was 6 years old. She would have turned 7 in March of 2023. She would have started second grade the following fall. She would have had more arguments with her stepmother and more makeups after. She would have had more nights where she stayed up too late and more mornings where she dragged herself to breakfast, half asleep. She would have discovered things, new things she loved, a book series she couldn't put down, a song she played over and over, a food she decided was her favorite. She would have changed her mind about everything at least twice. She would have had opinions, strong ones, delivered with the unfiltered confidence that only small children and very old people fully allow themselves. She would have learned to read fluently and then used the power relentlessly. She would have grown into whatever she was going to become, an athlete, an artist, a scientist, a storyteller, something no one could have predicted. We will never know what that was. We will never know the teenager she would have been, the young woman, the person who carried all of the energy and love into the world for the next 70, 80, 90 years. What we know is 6 years of her. 6 years of the smile. 6 years of the laughter. 6 years of the little girl who she... 6 years of the smile. 6 years of the laughter. 6 years of a little girl who was exactly who she was supposed to be. Her father had spoken about keeping her memory alive, about making sure the world doesn't reduce her to a headline or a case number, about the difference between being remembered as a victim and being remembered as a person. And I think the least we owe her is to try, to say her name with care, to let the weight of who she was carry more than the weight of how she died. Athena, a name from mythology, a goddess of wisdom and courage, a name chosen before anyone knew what kind of strength it would one day have to carry. A little girl who deserved to grow up and discover exactly what she meant to the world. A child whose name now means something different to every parent who had heard it. A reminder, a responsibility. A 6-year-old girl from Paradise, Texas, who was here, who mattered, who we do not forget. Athena Strand was not a symbol. She was not a lesson. She was not a cautionary tale. She was a child, a real, specific, irreplaceable child with a name and a face and a family who loved her completely. What happened to her was not inevitable. It was not fate. It was the result of one person's deliberate, chosen act. And as much as stories like this can make the world feel random and threatening and impossible to navigate safely, I want to be careful not to leave you in that place. Because the truth is also this. The vast majority of people driving down that road that day were just people. The vast majority of deliveries made to homes in that neighborhood were just deliveries. The world is not full of Tanner Horners, but there are enough of them. And they are invisible enough. And the consequences when they act are catastrophic enough that we owe it to children like Athena to stay awake, to take the extra moment, to check in, to make sure. Not with paranoia, not with fear that locks children inside and steals their childhoods, but with the quiet, steady awareness that the world requires. The awareness that Athena deserved more of. The awareness we carry forward in her name. I want to say something to the parents listening right now. I know what it's like to hear a story like this and feel the instinct to pull your children close and never let them go. To feel the specific terror of imagining it happening to you. To lay awake listening to them breathe and wondering if it is enough to simply love them fiercely. I don't have an answer to that fear. I don't think anyone does. But I believe that bearing witness matter. That saying her name matters. That refusing to let Athena Strand become just a headline matters. Because she was more than this story. She was a mourning. She was a birthday cake. She was the sound of a child laughing in the next room. She was all of the small, invisible moments that add up to a life. And those things belong to her too. Not just the tragedy. Her family is still here, still speaking her name, still fighting to make sure she is remembered as the little girl she was. And I think that matters. I think that bearing witness matters. That's what we try to do here. Even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. This has been Among Monsters. I'm Maya Vale. Stay aware. Stay present. Hold the people you love a little tighter tonight. And remember, not all monsters hide, but love. Love doesn't hide either. Love is loud, and it outlasts everything, even this.